when it reaches the point where all humanity, and more particularly God's own people, are threatened. Now, evil originates, of course, with Satan and is propagated through his children. The theme of the whole Bible is stated in Genesis 3, verse 15, where God, who has called Adam and Eve and Satan before him to give an accounting of their misdeeds, God says to Satan, "I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, the same Hebrew word zera, meaning literally seed, and it could be applied to seeds of a plant, but it's used commonly in the Bible in the sense of the descendants of a person. The same Hebrew word is used for Satan's seed as it is for Eve's seed. Satan was to have just as literal children in this world as was Eve. And he did have Cain, you remember, being one of them. And the mark on Cain is the same one which his descendants carry to this day, right in the middle of their faces. After all, remember that for Cain himself, he said, "When I go wandering around, anybody I meet is apt to kill me." So a mark was put upon him so he could be recognized, and it couldn't be on the sole of his feet or something where you'd never see it. There it was. So in that one verse, you know how they like to call us hate mongers because we tell the truth? All right. God said, "I, God, will put enmity between thee and the woman." And I'm quite satisfied to follow in the footsteps of my God along that path, I assure you. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That part of it being the first promise of the coming Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who would crush Satan's head, but in the process he is wounded himself. "Thou shalt bruise his heel." Now you go right on down through the New Testament, you find Jesus Christ still giving the same consistent, truthful explanation. He had said, "I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, he says to the Jews, and it says Jews there, he says, "Why is it that you can't understand my words? Why, you can't even hear my speech? Because you are not of my sheep." Now note that carefully. He didn't say that the reason they were not his sheep was that they didn't believe him, and if they just believed him, then they would be his sheep. It's the opposite. He said, "The reason you don't believe me is that you're not my sheep anyway." He said, I know my sheep, and they know me, and they follow me. They won't follow another." And that was true. Every person of any tribe of Israel, and specifically the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi, who were present in Palestine during the days of his ministry, every one of those formed the first Christians. He said, "They know me, they follow me." And they did. He was right. So to the Jews, in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, he told them that they were the children of their father, the devil. Now, he wasn't behaving like a bum in a barroom brawl, calling lying names to people because he disagreed with them. He never did that. He told nothing but the most exact truth. And when he said that these Jews were the children of Satan, he was as scientifically accurate as if he had said to a Chinaman, "Your ancestors were Mongolians." Likewise, the ancestors of these Jews were satanic. Now, the Bible is full of warnings against the wickedness of these Jews and what they're plotting. And it's this. Remember that evil, which is not under intelligent direction, never becomes too dangerous. It is when there is this satanic intelligence behind it that it becomes dangerous. Now, who is it that is plotting for world power today? Who is it that started communism and is using communism today simply as a weapon by which they may achieve world power? We all know it's the Jews. Now, they coveted Palestine for two reasons. It has enormous mineral wealth. The minerals in the waters of the Dead Sea, they figure are worth, I think it's $1.5 trillion. There is also oil and some other valuable minerals there. But that wasn't their primary reason for wanting it, even that. It's the most strategic point in the world. It's literally the crossroads of the world. Whoever controls Palestine can control Africa, Western Asia, and much of adjoining Europe. And that's what they're after. So, you see how they have plotted to take it over. In 1948, they seized Palestine. In 1967, they seized the old city of Jerusalem, the old walled city, which was the city in Christ's time, which includes Mount Moriah, the site of Solomon's temple. Now listen to this. Ezekiel 36, verse 2, telling why God is getting into this thing. "Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." Yeah, the ancient high place, Mount Moriah. You remember when Abraham, to test his faith, was told, "Take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, a burnt offering unto God. Go up to Mount Moriah and do that." And he did. The only people in the world who have been dedicated upon the altar to the service of God is his people Israel. Remember, Isaac was the ancestor of us all. And through him, all his descendants of Israel were dedicated formally to God. Again, on that same place, Solomon's temple was built. So now they say, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Now there's an interesting thing. There are two different numbers which are cycles of judgment. One of them is 9 and the other is 19. And this seizure of the ancient high places, the old city and Mount Moriah, the abomination that causes desolation standing in the holy place, came just 19 years after their original seizure of Palestine in 1948. A mark of judgment. Judgment must come upon them for this wrong. Now you've got another interesting thing here. In the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation 6, verses 15 to 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, of course, your book of Revelation is entirely symbolic, not literal. And to give a literal meaning to that would be absurd. Nobody would plead with the rocks to fall on him and crush him to death as a means of hiding from God. He'd be simply bringing his own judgment death upon himself that way. But remember that in the Bible, the word mountain is often used in a symbolic sense, and it always means a nation when it's so used. Now notice what this means. They said unto the mountains, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now these Jews have gone into every country in the world. And for the purposes of their conspiracy, they always keep among themselves the identity of Jews. They are a separate and antagonistic group from the population among which they live. But whenever it suits their purpose, remember, they try to say, Oh, we're English. We're American. We're French. So, now that their deviltry is reaching an end, they're saying, Let us pretend that we're just some Americans like you, and maybe God will overlook us. You aren't going to get the judgment that's in store for us, and if we can pretend to be just part of you, we escape along with you. Mountains, nations, you cover us up and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Won't work. You can't kid God. But it shows exactly what's coming. All this is very recent, you notice, and it was all written way back 25 centuries or more ago. In the 34th chapter of Isaiah, we read this, For the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them up to the slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. It shall come down upon Edomia, which is another form of Edom. And you remember that the Jewish Encyclopedia, in the article entitled Edom, concludes with this sentence, The Edomites are found today in modern Jewry. In other words, they are the bulk of the Palestinian Jews, the so-called Sephardic Jews, the other group being the Slavic Germanic Jews, the Khazars, who are called the Ashkenazi. They just infiltrated.
But the Ashkenazi came from the Ural Mountains. It didn't come out of Germany.
Well,
they're not a German tribe.
they had gotten in there by this time. Who was it that Germany was trying to rid herself of?
Yeah, but you said the Ashkenazi of German Jews.
Well,
To begin with,
they came from far east of the Urals. They came from way in the steppes or plains of Central Asia, the same area that the Turks came from a few centuries later. And they came west as the Khazars, and they appeared in extreme eastern Europe there about 150 A.D. They had a considerable empire. It extended from north of the Aral Sea and Caspian and Black Seas, all up through the Don and Dnieper valleys, the southwestern quarter of Russia, and slopped over some into the Balkan countries, Poland, Romania, and so on. And that empire, beginning about 150 A.D., lasted till, about 1000 A.D. or slightly afterward, when they were finally overthrown and merged in the gradually developing Russian kingdom. Now, during the time that Attila and his Huns came through there, they had to get out of the way, and they moved north, clear up into, they were up to the shores of the Baltic in Lithuania at one time. But with the ebb tide that took the Huns back out, most of them went on back. Some of them, who'd been driven a little farther west into Poland and Romania, stayed there. And, of course, some of them traveled even farther on, wherever the highly civilized peoples of Sweden, Germany, Austria set up a good civilization. That was a profitable place to go in and be a parasite. So they went in there. And the Jews who did move into Germany and who have more or less German names like Goldberg and Silverstein and so forth today still originated out of the same group as those who have Slavic names like Minsky and Baranov and so forth. They're infiltrators, of course, in all these other countries. So, we were reading from Isaiah 34, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. For it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." Now remember, wherever you found God's Israel people, in the white Christian nations of Europe, and over here in the United States and Canada and Australia and South Africa, you have found Jews trying to gain control. And through their money power and the power of the bribery and corruption they could bring in, gaining it. Now, Zion, of course, you had the literal Mount Zion, a hill in the city of Jerusalem. But the word Zion is often used in the Bible, not in that narrow geographical sense, but in the sense of the center of political power of Israel. And wherever you had the center of political power in Israel, you had these satanic Jews trying to corrupt it and gain that power themselves. So, it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. They have seized the literal geographical site of Zion in the old city, just as they have been seizing the political Zion in the various nations. So the people of my curse. I particularly like to read these things from the Old Testament because the Jews give their lip service to it, pretending that they have that part of the Bible, though they reject the New Testament. So I like to read from that part which they claim to have.
Is it Exodus 19 where Amalek is mentioned and God says he had a perpetual enmity with him?
Yes.
This is the first mention. Of course, Amalek was Edom's grandson.
Yes. And became the founder of an Edomite Jew tribe. Now listen to this in the first chapter of Malachi. "The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith Yahweh, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? But was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith Yahweh? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And God doesn't hate anybody without good cause. So it goes on. Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. You know what they say? Oy, we are impoverished. We couldn't steal all the wealth of Germany when we left. But we will return and build the desolate places. How they're boasting that after they have driven the Arabs out and occupied the Arabs' homes and taken the Arabs' businesses and bank accounts, that now they have a good, prosperous thing going. We will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh hath indignation forever. There is the people of my curse, as God calls them, and the Jewish encyclopedia itself identifies them further. Well, it's time. They have plagued us from the days of Adam on down to now. Every good work that we tried to do has been finally frustrated by their influence. The wealth that we created, they have finally gotten into their own hands. All our institutions are corrupted by them. So it is time now to bring an end to that. Again, Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day comes that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts.
This tape was produced by Your Heritage and Pastor Bertrand Comparé. We have much more information in written form and tape recordings, both reel and cassette. We offer this material to assist the personal ministries of those who are called to awaken Yahweh's Israel sheep to the truth of His Word and the necessity for national repentance. Feel free to call upon us for personal consultation. We welcome your suggestions as to how Your Heritage can more effectively spread the gospel of the kingdom. Many people are meeting in their homes using Pastor Comparé's material as a basis for their study. Such groups represent a healthy return to the early assemblies of believers and offers those who finally see the light and come out of the Babylonian church system a place to worship with other believers. We would hope that such meetings would also provide the nucleus of support for a radio broadcast in your area, and we shall be happy to cooperate with you in this regard. As you know, Your Heritage is not associated with any organization. As our congregation, we depend upon your tithes and offerings to pay the expenses of spreading the gospel.
Please send all correspondence to our new private zip code, Your Heritage, San Diego, California, 92116-0100.